Is religion dying? We're going to ask that question today and try to get to the bottom of it. Welcome to Sage Reverie, a podcast where we seek to live well and live wisely. I'm Mike Wilson.
And I'm Wes Smith.
We live in the great state of Wyoming, and each week, from a biblical perspective, we discuss a trending topic and what others are saying about it. If you're using these episodes for your group, there are discussion questions in the description. And for more information about our ministry, visit church307.com. Wes, I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot recently about the future of religion in our world. Is it worth investing in? Is there any value there, or should we just move on and rely on other things? I recently was going back through and watching some old Joe Rogan clips, which I'm not recommending that you do, but I was. And Joe Rogan was talking about, this was a couple years ago, Joe Rogan was talking about his thoughts about religion. Here's this.
Because Christianity, at the end of the day, with no proof, everything is mythology. Everything. With no proof. With proof, then you examine the proof. It's super simple. And anybody that argues against that is just, you're just biased. You have your own ideas. If you have some proof that there was a God, that this God had one son, and he made this son come down and get the beat out of him and nailed to a board so that we could all have no sin. Can you show me some studies? Do you have a box of evidence that you can pull out and we can examine all the different pieces that points to the undeniable conclusion that that's true? Because if you don't, then it's a myth. Then you're believing mythology. Doesn't mean it's not real, but if you put all your f***ing eggs in that basket and you don't have any proof at all, well, you're entering into this weird world where you don't pay attention to s***.
So that's a few years ago.
Yep.
And Joe Rogan has in the past been a very outspoken atheist and antagonistic towards Christianity.
Right.
And then I was watching the other day, and then I see this clip. This is just more recent.
Okay.
But don't you think there has to be some sort of field of value that can orient people into like, hey, let's do things a little bit better because these things actually matter. There is right and wrong. There is morality. Yeah. There is certain like.
Well, unfortunately, the problem with living in a secular society and living in a society that has a lot of people that are atheists, that have no belief system at all, is you find a belief system. And that's a lot of these people that call themselves atheists, or they've subscribed to the religion of woke. You know, their God is equity and inclusiveness. Their God is this ideology that they think that you have to subscribe to. And that's why it's spooky, because people, human beings seem to have a very strong desire for some sort of order and form and some sort of pattern that they can follow that seems to be the right way to go. And they can be led. They can be led by cults. They can be led by groups of people. They can be led by, you know, intolerant governments and evil armies and corrupt politicians. They can be led. But I think as time rolls on, people are going to understand the need to have some sort of divine structure to things, some sort of belief in the sanctity of love and of truth. And a lot of that comes from religion. A lot of people's moral compass and the guidelines that they've used to follow to live a just and righteous life has come from religion. And unfortunately, a lot of very intelligent people, they dismiss all of the positive aspects of religion because they think that the stories are mere superstitious fairy tales, that, you know, they have no place in this modern world, and, you know, we're inherently good and your ethics are based on your old moral compass and we all have one. And that's not necessarily true. We need Jesus. I think for real. Like, if he came back now, it'd be great. Like, Jesus, if you're thinking about coming back.
Right now?
Now's a good time.
Yeah, pretty soon, yeah.
Now's a good time.
Well, there's a lot of people that think that might be coming.
Well, it might be.
Mark of the beast. If there is the Christianity part and Jesus wants to come back and save everything.
It'd be good right around now.
Yeah.
Like, don't wait till the election.
Don't wait till the election.
Oh. I don't know if maybe I'm... Maybe it's just this coincidence and happens to be what I'm seeing. But man, it seems to me like a lot of people are more open to spiritual conversations than I've ever seen in my life. You have all kinds of people that not only are just open to the possibility, like Joe Rogan has become recently and Aaron Rodgers,
right,
but also those have been like, total salvations. The Russell yeah. Brands, and I heard an interview with Jordan Peterson the other day talking about Jesus being real, and
right.
A bunch of athletes and people that have just not, I grew up in the church and I've always been a Christian people, mm-hmm. but people who have been convinced, or they went down the alternative path far enough to realize there were no real answers there.
Yeah.
And so then they end up coming around to, I've just been asking myself the question, are we on the verge mm-hmm. of a massive revival mm-hmm. of people recognizing there's something here that we need that has some depth that nothing else has? Mm-hmm. Are we close? Mm-hmm. I think the answer is yes, but
yeah.
are we close yeah. to some kind of major revival of people coming to the Lord? Have you seen similar trends?
Yeah, I absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it turns out that Jesus is not only the Savior, but his way of life that he proposes is really, really smart.
Yeah.
And when we live outside of that, things don't work as well. And I think people are recognizing a piece of that, at least, to say, this doesn't work. The way we went, you know, here you had a outspoken atheist who's now saying atheism
yep.
and in all of its forms is a disaster for us.
Yeah.
That didn't work. We need Jesus, right? And so I think when there's just an intellectual recognition, that can lead to an intellectual awakening, that what we would talk about being the first stage of a revival. And I do see some really cool stuff. I think religion had to kind of die.
Mm-hmm.
And many people were more in religion than they were in a relationship True. With Christ. So that had to die. And then I think there had to be, and maybe we're not there yet, but there has to be this kind of bottoming out of an understanding that going without God doesn't work. And then that can lead. So whenever you fear, like people saying, you know, Christianity's dying, or people aren't going to church, or whatever the statistic is, know that God's been at this for a long time, yeah. a long, long time.
Yeah.
And he's not anxious
yeah.
about his church. Neither should we be, right? And God's got these stages. And so I like you, and I'm seeing some pretty good data to support it,
yeah.
that God's doing something that we can be incredibly optimistic about. And this is an amazing time to be alive.
Heck yeah.
Amazing time to be alive.
Yeah, I read the Next Christendom book, and it was talking about how Christianity might, the center of Christianity might be moving. It's moving further south, like that's where the yep, growth of right, the faith is,
and right.
The average skin color of the average Christian is getting a little darker.
Darker, yeah.
But Christianity right now in the world is growing in incredible numbers,
yeah, exponentially.
Yeah, at a rate yeah. the world has never seen before.
Yeah,
we in America are pretty ethnocentric, and we start to think that we're the center of the world. And so, if Christianity is not booming in America, then it must be dying. No. Worldwide Christianity, you look at Iran, you look at Korea and China and Africa and
South America,
all over.
Yeah.
Growing like crazy. Yeah. And we get so in our bubble, in our little world, and start to get pessimistic. And that's just so ignorant. Mm-hmm. It's just uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
However, you and I just went to England and we saw a very dead religion. Mm-hmm. We go to these Anglican churches.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, this is not faith. This is not a relationship with God.
Right.
You're playing a game.
Yeah.
This is political theater.
Yeah.
This is
it's public religion.
Public religion.
Yeah.
I have no interest in that grossness.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
If we're talking about, is religion dying? Well, I hope that religion is dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like what you said. You kind of differentiate.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Rogan is going to use the word religion to talk about that foundation. We wouldn't use the word
moral
religion.
Foundation for the world kind of thing some people use or whatever else. Yeah.
But what people are actually looking for is so much greater than that. So much bigger than some show.
Yeah.
And some rituals that we go through.
Yeah.
And so what we're inviting our world to has very little to do with that, what they call religion.
Yeah.
Technically, are we a religion? I think using the definition correctly, maybe we are technically a religion, but what we're talking about is something so much greater than that.
Yeah. We'll often say, to make our point, we want to talk to you about a relationship with a living God, not a religion. You know, we'll try to differentiate so people come to understand what this is and what we've come to believe, and that we actually do, back to his first video, we have really solid answers for why we believe.
Right.
You know, that I would actually agree with much of it, the first comments he made, that if you just blindly accept what you believe, that's kind of foolish.
It is foolish.
And we would say the same thing. And we don't believe that we are doing that, and love those conversations, right?
Yeah.
So
I want so bad to read through the Lee Strobel books with Joe
with
Rogan.
Joe, yeah.
Like, you want some evidences? There's plenty of them.
Absolutely.
And we could do that all day long. The truth though is most people don't choose God because their questions were answered correctly. There is usually a heart change that needs to happen much more than an intellectual change.
Yeah, and I my belief is so much more based on my own convinced evidence that God has interacted with me.
Yeah.
Like it's experience. That I have all the intellectual stuff to answer questions like that, but really my belief has grown, not from that. Yeah. But, oh, God, I absolutely am convinced you did this, said this in my life. And we talk about that. That's where really belief and faith generates from, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We, when we were in England and we saw in the Library of London, they've got the oldest Bibles in existence.
Right.
And we get to go see these Bibles that are 1600 years old.
Yeah.
And, they've got all these ancient books in there, and you've got the oldest Quran, which is like 400 years old.
Right.
You got the oldest Buddhist writings and Hindu writings and all these, and they're all like 400, maybe 500 years old. And you get to the oldest Bible and it's like 1600 years old. And you're like, there's, if you want to talk about evidence and foundation and history and all that, like, nothing has it like Christianity does. We have the answers to those questions. But we have so much more than that too.
Yeah.
And so, and there's hope, and the moral foundation and all that is all found in what we believe is the true faith. He is the way, the truth, and the life, like the good life.
And Jesus said it best: if you seek, you'll find. If you really want legit answers, if you really want to discover truth and you seek it authentically, you'll find it.
Yep.
It's there. We don't have to worry about Christianity, because God set it up that way.
Yeah.
Other systems, other beliefs, if you're authentically seeking, you'll figure out that doesn't work. Amen. That's not real. And you will figure out this. And so we can rest in that. We don't have to be the provers of our case out there, right? Yeah. We will introduce you to a person who we believe and knows God, and he loves you, and life with him, you'll discover is the best way to live life for countries and governments and for people and families and dads and moms, right?
I feel like the church has largely, because of Left Behind theology and the terror of an antichrist around every corner and all that stuff, has sometimes fallen into a defensive posture of believing the sky is falling and everything is going bad and the government's persecuting us and all these different things. And so we kind of enter the bunkering mentality. I got to separate, I got to protect, I got to be defensive because everything's falling apart. And I just can't relate to that way of thinking about the future of Christianity. When I think about the future of the church, I picture something that has grown relentlessly, of something that is dominant in the world in terms of the growth of in the increasing numbers, as we've seen ever since Acts.
I heard one teacher describe it this way, and I whenever you mention this, and you're one of the more optimistic minded people I know, and I love it with respect to this, because I think it is valid. But I heard this teacher describe it this way, to say, when you're playing a game, if you knew the outcome and knew that you were going to win, you would play that game differently.
Yeah, true.
Then if you're playing the game and you don't know the outcome and you're behind, the stress that you would feel.
Yeah.
And as Christ followers, we understand the ending.
Yeah.
It works out really great, amen, right?
Yep.
So we don't have to stress the score today.
Yeah.
whatever the score is, we can debate the score, whatever it is. Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah. We don't keep score at halftime.
Yeah.
We know how the thing ends, right? And I just try to live in that.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't just have faith that God is real. Mm-hmm. We have faith that God is in control.
Yeah.
He is Lord.
Yeah. He wins.
Yeah. That's right. Amen. Yeah.
So we rest in that.
So when you talk about it might be a good thing if religion dies, what are the negatives? What are the downsides of the more worldly or earthly based religion that you see?
Yeah. When religion is primarily a way to systematize and manipulate the behavior of large groups of people.
Right.
Right. And that's what a lot of, even inside over the ages in Christianity, it's been more religion. It's a systematic approach to saying this is the right behavior.
Yeah.
And the belief is sort of put into that process. And that was never the idea of what Jesus is inviting us into.
Yeah.
And so when it becomes those two things, the systemized approach to manipulate groups of behavior, it's wrong. It becomes its own form of following the enemy of Christ and has to die for you to authentically experience what Jesus invited you into.
Yeah.
And so seeing that die, and we as human beings, we want to grab the gospel and make it a religion.
Yeah.
And so we do that over time. Like it starts here, which it did at the Reformation and that era, and then gradually gets dragged into a religion. And God sometimes has to take it back from us and say, no.
Yeah.
It's this.
Yeah.
Get back to this. And I think that's what we've been seeing, right? And so we can lament the death of religion, and we see people behaving even worse and all these things. People are leaving churches and all, we lament all this, but God is in many ways, I think, wresting control of his church back to say, oh, it's about the gospel. So I encourage, I supervise and lead pastors, right? And I'll say this often, you've heard me say this. Can you pray this week to and just give God his church back?
Yeah.
Just give it back to him.
Yeah.
Just remember, it's not your church, it's his church. And I think that's what he's doing. When God gets his church, he does amazing things with it every time. It's what we saw in the 1500s. It's what we see in the great awakenings in the United States over history, right? Yep. Give God his church back, and he's taking it back right now, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when we're coming up on Reformation Day, Halloween is the anniversary of the Reformation, and we look at these great revivals, and let's get back to our roots.
Yep.
What did God want us to be?
Yep.
And when I think about religion, I think of the Pharisees in Jesus' day who were trying to tell God, the Pharisees are coming to God and saying, he's not good enough. Yeah. He's not behaving correctly. He's not following the rules because religion had taken the advice that God had given to his people and they had turned it into a legalistic structure that they were using as a tool, as a weapon to control people.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus wanted to invite people to into relationship, they were trying to invite people into rules.
Yes.
And that's just never what our faith was created to be.
We flipped it, don't we? We take rules first to enter instead of Jesus loves you and here's some ways to live life that'll be better for you. And if you follow him, you'll live this way. We flip that, right?
Yep.
And it's so detrimental to everything.
And we've seen some of that even in our denomination, which our denomination, I believe, is much better than most. But there is always this temptation to keep adding rules and almost every time the rule, we would say, that's a good step.
Yeah.
Like, I think people should do that.
It's a wise way to live.
That's a wise way of to live. But as soon as you put it into the rule category, then you've moved us one step closer to the Pharisees and one step away from focusing on relationship. And so there are a lot of things that there are people that are recommending rules in our denomination or another denomination that I want to say, I am with you in theory, but I can't go with you in practice. I don't want to add to scripture. I want to try to stay true to what Jesus was inviting us to, not what the Pharisees were inviting.
Even the appearance of adding to Scripture.
Yes.
Even the appearance of it.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You know, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You talked about our time in the UK mm-hmm. and the church there that has become a religion is dying. And yet one of the cool things is what we saw there is this enormous underground revival of young people, dude, right?
Yeah.
God is doing some cool stuff, even in a secular post everything, Christian post more everything. God's like, I got a plan.
Yeah.
Right. And you're seeing this underground thing going on. That's just like cool. And I can just tell you, as somebody who travels extensively in our country and is part of some of these movements on the fringes, God's doing some cool things with that.
He
and he's taking this, okay, we're done with religion.
Yeah.
This thing. And wow, I think it's just the best time to be alive. If we can all recognize we don't need to fight for religion.
Yeah.
And fight for a morality, a way of living. That's in many respects good, just like the rules you talked about. There's some good things with that, right? Following Christ doesn't mean I don't do wise things anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if we can let go fighting for that.
Yeah.
And fight for the gospel again. And yeah. and it's about, so I'm excited.
Let's bring people into relationship with Jesus so that he can form those wise habits in their life so that he can sanctify them in that way.
It's interesting though. You're a pastor. I'll ask you about this. Cause again, what we are saying is, hey, it doesn't matter. We're not saying it doesn't matter how you live. Live any way you want. Just say something positive about Jesus and nothing else matters, right? That's not what we're saying at all.
No.
And yet when you do this as a pastor, you want to be careful because on the one hand, you see people who are just tied down by a religion.
Yeah.
And you want to say there's freedom, just like Paul said to the church in Galatia, right? But then you also see people who by not living wisely are destroying their lives. And you want to say, following Christ, like it should affect like what you eat and drink and how much you eat and drink and how you manage your anger, right? You want to say this.
Yep.
So it's, you're just in this tension all the time of how you communicate that. And every group is waiting for you to kind of say the wrong thing, right?
Yep.
Or say the wrong thing. Oh, you must not believe this. So you're saying you can live any way you want as a Christian? Yep. No. Oh, this group says, oh, you know, you're confining me or whatever. Yep. So it's just tough to manage, right? Yep.
Paul says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial.
Yeah.
And so how do we determine in our lives where am I drawing a line between right and wrong and who's in and who's out and who do we allow to call themselves part of our fellowship and who don't we? Mm-hmm. Let's invite everybody in.
Mm-hmm.
But then help everybody to see the best way.
Yeah.
The good life. Mm-hmm. What does the good life look like? The good life usually involves a lot of incorporation of the rules that the Pharisees want to involve.
Yep.
Usually, I'm going to adopt some habits that the rule you want to enforce is going to bring into my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do it not so that I can be in relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it because I believe God knows best.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to trust his way. And so, yes, it is a constant balancing act to say, here's what is good, but not here is what is necessary in order to be in relationship.
Yeah. And sin is a real thing. Like for me to take another person's life is something that angers God.
Yes.
It's something he says was wrong from the beginning and is wrong. When I do that, I've sinned against God and somebody else, and repentance is part of that. And so there is a right and a wrong and a sin and those kind of things. But understanding my relationship with God is at its core based on forgiveness from those things, not based on my ability to follow through on always choosing right from wrong.
Yeah, that's really good.
The concept of grace is so amazing that we just can't believe it.
Yeah.
We just can't believe it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that can't be right.
Yeah.
That can't be right.
I think what ends up happening when we try to create a list of right and wrong, and we try to have a comprehensive instructions about what we can and cannot do, is what we end up doing is actually dumbing down sin.
Mm-hmm.
We actually end up, what we're trying to do is give ourselves more clear guidelines so I can know what can I do and what can't I do, rather than allowing love to be our guide, our determinant about what we should and should not do. Because I actually believe kind of liberally about, or it would be conservatively about sin. I think sin is anything that is outside of God's will for our lives. I think that we sin when we do something contrary to God, what God would have us do, rather than just breaking one of the list of rules that we've done. And so what would it look like in my life to be guided by his instruction to love, rather than just, I was obedient to the list that we created.
I think the list can give us a picture of a pattern of, but Paul says this, I'm pretty sure it's Paul, right? That says he writes his law on our hearts.
Yeah, yep.
And so what that means is we used to sort of just follow this list as a way to know. And now with the Holy Spirit, we have this thing written in our hearts.
Yeah.
And so it might not be on a list anywhere, but I just intuitively am starting to understand that's wrong.
Yep.
That would hurt God.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's wrong. And so that's when, you know, Jesus gives the example of the law says you don't commit adultery. I say, when you look at her in lust,
yes,
that's just as wrong.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is a whole nother level.
Yeah.
So people who fear grace in this, as we've described it, as a lawless sort of crazy, chaotic, you just do what you want. Reality, it's a higher standard.
Yeah.
It's I found in my life, like, it goes way beyond any list.
Yeah. Jesus didn't lower the bar.
He raised the bar. Absolutely.
Like, good luck reaching this one. What's the bar? Perfection.
Yes.
Like, go after that one.
Yeah.
We're going to fall short. Yeah. So it's not our goal to be perfect. Yeah. It's instead to become more like Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in doing that, we do what he wants.
And then, though, you do get closer to perfection.
Bingo.
Like, your ability to love your enemies is just starting to get radically shifted. And wow, is it awesome to live that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really good. So religion dying, cool.
Let it go.
We're cool with that.
Yeah.
But I see no signs that Christianity is dying.
Right.
This is growing. Right. Revival is coming. Get ready for it. Whether you believe it or not, it's happening.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next week for Sage Reverie.